Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Poisonous People: How to Resist Them and Improve Your Life is a popular psychology and practical self-protection book by Leanne Tan Brink. A psychologist known for research on deception, trust, psychopathy, and dark personality traits. The book examines people who show patterns associated with psychopathy, narcissism, Machiavellian manipulation, and sadism, often discussed together as the dark tetrad. Its purpose is not to encourage casual diagnosis, but to help readers recognize repeated patterns of callousness, entitlement, rule-breaking, hostility, and exploitation that can damage relationships, workplaces, families, and civic life. Tan Brink combines psychological research with accessible explanation to show why a relatively small number of highly antagonistic individuals can create outsized distress. The book also emphasizes agency readers can learn to detect harmful patterns earlier, make clearer decisions about staying or leaving, and reduce manipulative influence through boundaries, written communication, and structured behavioral expectations. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Dark Tetrad Traits as a Practical Map of Harmful Personality Patterns. A central contribution of Poisonous People is its use of the Dark Tetrad as a practical framework rather than as a set of labels for casual insult. The four traits overlap in their shared core of callousness, antagonism, and willingness to exploit others, but each points to a different risk. Psychopathy is associated with impulsivity, fearlessness, rule-breaking, and low concern for harm. Narcissism centers on grandiosity, entitlement, and an intense need for admiration or status. Machiavellianism involves strategic manipulation in pursuit of control or advantage. Sadism adds the disturbing element of enjoyment in another person's suffering. By separating these patterns, Tan Brink helps readers move beyond the vague category of toxic person and ask more precise questions. Is the problem impulsive recklessness, status-driven entitlement, calculated manipulation, or cruelty? This distinction matters because different traits create different vulnerabilities in victims and groups. A narcissistic person may distort conversations around admiration and blame, while a Machiavellian person may plan social pressure more quietly. The framework gives readers a structured way to observe behavior without pretending that every difficult person has a clinical disorder. Secondly, why a small number of antagonistic people can create disproportionate harm. The book argues that poisonous people matter not only because they hurt individuals, but because their effects scale through families, workplaces, institutions, and politics. One bullying student can make a classroom feel unsafe. One manipulative colleague can reduce trust across a team. One controlling partner can destabilize an entire household. This emphasis on disproportionate harm is important because it counters two unhelpful assumptions that human beings in general are broadly dangerous, or that destructive behavior is merely an interpersonal annoyance. Tan Brink presents dark personalities as a concentrated risk. Their harm comes partly from repeated violations of norms that cooperative people depend on, including honesty, reciprocity, accountability, and empathy. When those norms are broken often enough, observers become more guarded, groups become less collaborative, and people spend energy protecting themselves rather than working or relating productively. The book therefore treats poisonous behavior as a social contaminant, not just a private character flaw. Its optimistic implication is that reducing the influence of a small harmful minority can produce meaningful improvements without requiring cynicism toward everyone. The problem is serious, but it is also more targeted than a blanket distrust of human nature. Thirdly, detection depends on patterns, not instant diagnosis. Tan Brink emphasizes that recognizing poisonous people is a skill of pattern detection, not a license to diagnose someone after one awkward interaction. Early red flags may include manipulative language, unusually low empathy, hostility paired with charm, grandiose self-focus, disregard for rules, pleasure and dominance, or repeated refusal to take responsibility. Yet the book treats first impressions as provisional evidence rather than proof. This is a useful corrective because many readers approach toxic personality books looking for certainty, while real social judgment is probabilistic. A person may be rude under stress without being deeply antagonistic, and a charming person may still be dangerous if the charm consistently masks exploitation. The practical method is to build a running theory and revise it as more behavior accumulates. Readers are encouraged to notice consistency across contexts: how someone treats subordinates, handles disagreement, responds to consequences, or behaves when empathy would cost them something. This approach protects against both naivety and overreaction. It also shifts attention from hidden motives, which are difficult to know, to observable patterns, which can be documented and acted upon. The book's detection strategy is therefore cautious, evidence-minded, and behaviorally grounded. Fourthly, The stay or leave decision requires safety, leverage, and realistic constraints. Poisonous People does not reduce its advice to simply escape every dark personality. Leaving may be the safest and wisest option in many harmful relationships, especially when manipulation, intimidation, coercion, or escalating risk is present. 10. Brink acknowledges that people often cannot leave immediately, or may have reasons to remain connected through employment, parenting, family obligations, schooling, or shared institutions. This makes the book more realistic than advice that assumes unlimited freedom. The key question becomes how much exposure is necessary and what forms of control the reader actually has. If leaving is possible, planning matters because direct confrontation can sometimes increase conflict or retaliation. If staying is necessary, the focus shifts to limiting access, clarifying boundaries, reducing ambiguity, and avoiding emotional negotiations that reward manipulation. The book frames this decision as practical rather than moralistic. Readers are not blamed for remaining in complicated situations, but they are encouraged to distinguish hope from evidence. The relevant evidence is whether the person responds to limits, whether harms are escalating, and whether the surrounding environment supports accountability. This decision framework helps readers convert confusion into a manageable assessment of risk and options. Lastly, structured rules, written communication, and rewards can reduce manipulative advantage. One of the book's most concrete areas of guidance concerns how to interact when avoidance is not possible. 10 Brink highlights strategies that reduce the persuasive and destabilizing advantage of dark personalities. Clear written rules are important because vague expectations invite denial, loopholes, and shifting blame. When rules are explicit, violations become easier to identify and harder to reinterpret. Written communication, such as text or email, can also reduce the power of charm, intimidation, and in-person emotional pressure. It creates a record, slows the exchange, and makes manipulation less fluid. The book also discusses the behavioral value of rewards, especially in contexts where punishment alone may fail to change conduct. If a callous or manipulative person behaves honestly, cooperatively, or respectfully, reinforcing that behavior can be more effective than relying only on criticism after wrongdoing. This does not mean trusting blindly or excusing harm. It means designing interactions around incentives, documentation, and enforceable limits. The advice is especially relevant in workplaces, negotiations, co-parenting, and institutional settings where continued contact may be unavoidable. The broader principle is to remove ambiguity and reduce opportunities for interpersonal pressure. In conclusion, Poisonous People is best suited for readers who want a research-informed way to understand recurring manipulation, bullying, emotional exploitation, or destructive entitlement without relying on pop psychology exaggeration. It will be useful for people dealing with difficult partners, relatives, colleagues, supervisors, classmates, or public figures whose behavior repeatedly damages trust and stability. Its practical benefit is that it gives readers a vocabulary for identifying patterns and a set of grounded responses to observed behavior over time. Distinguish traits from isolated incidents, decide whether continued contact is safe or necessary, and use boundaries, documentation, clear rules, and written communication to reduce harm. Intellectually, the book helps explain why a small minority of antagonistic individuals can have an influence far beyond their numbers, making it relevant to organizational culture and civic life, as well as private relationships. Compared with many books about toxic people, it stands out for its emphasis on empirical psychology and its refusal to offer only one answer. It does not simply tell readers to distrust everyone or to run from every difficult person. Instead, it presents a more nuanced position. Most people are not the problem. But some patterns are dangerous, and recognizing them accurately can protect both individual well-being and shared social environments. If you would like to support Leanne Ten Brink, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.